Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, October 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book, and we are on page 144, the fourth paragraph on your employee's return, through five paragraphs ending with from needless provocation and unfair criticism. And the comments will be on all five paragraphs. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Laura A., the 12 Traditions, Nan K., and readers of the text are Sherry K.B. and Eileen M. The share ID for Monday, October 22nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,082. That's 12082. And for the Tuesday, October 23rd meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,085. That's 12085. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura A. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. And I'll now ask Nan Kay to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Nan Kay from Michigan. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you, Nan Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 144, starting with the fourth paragraph, on your employee's return, reading through five paragraphs, ending with from needless provocation and unfair criticism. And the comments will be on all the paragraphs. And I will now ask Sherry KB to get us started. Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. On your employee's return, talk with him. Ask him if he thinks he has the answer. If he feels free to discuss his problems with you, if he knows you understand and will not be upset by anything he wishes to say, he will probably be off to a fast start. In this connection, can you remain undisturbed if the man proceeds to tell you shocking things? He may, for example, reveal that he has padded his expense account or that he has planned to take your business customers away from you, your best customers away from you. In fact, he may say almost anything if he has accepted our solution, which, as you know, demands rigorous honesty. Can you charge this off as you would a bad account and start fresh with him? If he owes you money, you may wish to make terms. If he speaks of his home situation, can you undoubtedly make helpful suggestions? Can he talk frankly with you so long as he does not bear business tales or criticize his associates? With this kind of employee, such an attitude will command underlining loyalty. The greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. Wherever men are gathered together in business, there will be rivalries, and arising out of these, a certain amount of office politics. Sometimes we alcoholics have an idea that people are trying to pull us down. Often this is not so at all, but sometimes our drinking will be used politically. One instance comes to mind in which a malicious individual was always making friendly little jokes about the alcoholic's drinking exploits. In this way, he was carrying tales. In another case, an alcoholic was sent to a hospital for treatment. Only a few knew of it at first, but within a short time, it was billboarded throughout the entire company. Naturally, this sort of thing decreased the man's chance of recovery. The employer can many times protect the victim from this kind of talk. The employer cannot play favorites, but he can always defend a man from needless provocation and unfair criticism. Put myself on a timer here. Okay, so I have been an employer. I have not been in situations But I have 12-step people and suggested. But what I think mostly about is being a sponsor and being a member of Overeaters Anonymous to listen to people, listen to their fifth steps, not be shocked at things they tell me, to not judge and for past things that have happened to them, and also to share my own. I also think about here what it talks about the greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. You know, all throughout this book, it talks about, you know, it's more about what's between my ears than it is about the food I put in my mouth. Once I put the food down, I can deal with all this stuff that has been going on as to why I ate, because honestly, before I got into this work, before I did the big book, before I did the 12 steps this way, I thought my only problem was my weight and the size dress I wore. I didn't know that there was so much more between going on between my ears and that what I ate over, because being abstinent, white knuckling it without these steps was a living hell. But living in these steps, working the steps and being abstinent with God's help has relieved me of these things one day at a time, especially when I live in 10, 11, and 12. And the idea that people were trying to pull us down, I used to think they have thoughts like that, for sure, absolutely. And then this other part here, when it talks about basically it's talking about gossip in the fourth paragraph. It's talking about gossiping about other people and the situations. And, you know, I know that when I've heard about somebody I've known that's gotten into relapse, I don't gossip about them. I try to be of service to them when I hear about it in the rooms or whatever. Because what I think of is there's a saying that says, let there be no gossip but criticism of one another. Instead, let the understanding, love, and peace of the program grow in you one day at a time. And to me, that's what I think about. Whether I'm an employer or I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous or I'm a step guide, you know, just to not to gossip and not to criticize one bit. I know that I've been there. I'm sure all of us have been there. And I know that it's just having more compassion for people who are suffering and for people who go into relapse, but also not to love them to death, but to be of service to them with God's help. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 144, starting with the fourth paragraph on your employee's return, reading through five paragraphs, ending with from needless provocation and unfair criticism. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Jan B.
Jan B.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Lucy L.
L. Was there somebody after Lucy?
Nancy
Paula
L.
G.
Nancy, what was it, Nancy? What's your last initial?
L is in Larry.
Got it. Nancy L. Who's after Nancy?
Paula D.
Paula D. One more.
Lisa J.R.
I heard J.R.
Lisa J.R., yes. But let Christy go. She came in with me. I can wait for the next round.
Okay. All right. Christy. Okay. Gotcha. And I'll put you down for the next one. Okay. We have Jan B., Roz G., Lynn S., Lucy L., Nancy L., Paula D., and Christy. I didn't get your last initial, but I get it at the time. Okay, Jan B., you're on.
Good morning. This is Jan B. from Colorado. Happy to be here, and thank you all for your service to make this meeting possible. What a fabulous reading. When this was read this morning, I kept on thinking, what a beautiful way to apply this to all of life. I was thinking of the schools, you know, and bullying. And how, on the last paragraph, how the employer can't play favorites, but they always defend a man from needless provocation and unfair criticism. But that's rules for alcoholics and non-alcoholics. It's for everyone. And I just think that would be so great if we could apply that in all of our affairs and all that we do. I think it's just beautiful. Just good advice for living. Again, about the gossiping, it's such a malady and such a horrible thing. And I, you know, we've all done it. I've done it, and it's just like to be able to really look at our actions and say, no, that's not appropriate. And I'm going to really watch that today for myself. Thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, JNB. Roz G, followed by Lynn S. Roz?
Good morning. My name is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles County. And this paragraph gave me reminders of who I was when I was compulsively overeating and working. And I had a lot of paranoid thinking. I used to think that people were out to get me, that people didn't like me, that people gossiped behind my back, and that I wasn't good enough. I stayed isolated from groups. I called them all cliques. And what I didn't realize was that I was just as judgmental as them. You know, if I'm thinking that somebody's thinking something, you know, critical of me, I am not a genie, and I am not a crystal ball reader. I don't know what anybody is thinking. All I know is what people do through their actions. So how am I to act? I had a lot of humility I had to go through a lot of ego reduction at depth so that I could conform myself to a team at work. And I'm also I am very grateful that, you know, one day at a time, one moment at a time, even not to get caught up in gossip, because it's just a regular part of life, and everybody does it. So what I try to do is to, you know, kindly refrain. I don't want to seem like I'm holier than thou by saying, you know, I really don't want to gossip about this person. I've done that before, and I'd like to say, you know, excuse myself from the conversation, or say, you know, I used to be just like that. Oh my gosh, I used to do that too. And it turns and it makes me a part of versus better than. I know that I'm a compulsive overeater. I know that there's some things that I need to refrain from doing. But I also know that I've learned how to be a human being, be a team member, be a complimenter, look for the good, and say it. And, you know, people appreciate that a lot. So I'm just very glad for the reminders, and I'm very grateful that I can fit in today and be comfortable in my skin through the grace of God. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roz G. And Lynn S., followed by Lucy L. Lynn?
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Boy, for years, reading this paragraph would just make me cringe because I lived before program by padding my expense account. Oh, my goodness. When I think of all the things I got, I even look around the house and I see a dried flower arrangement that was in one of our model homes and has ended up sitting on my table. Things like that, but you know, not only just taking things, but the expense account, because I traveled for work all the time, and it was just phenomenal. So that bothered me for years, and then making amends for that was such an incredible experience, like just so incredible. And I can remember my boss now. I remember, you know, I went down to his house. He only lived a block away, and he wasn't home. And I was so intent on doing that, so writing him a letter and leaving him the check. And I remember, you know, it was $1,500, I think, I'd left him. I think so. And he said to me at one point, he said, you probably could have bought yourself a nice outfit with that. And I said, I probably did. And we both laughed over it. But what I'm thinking about now so much is how gracious he was. And he was so supportive, and I didn't even tell work I was in OA because they had seen me go to fat farms, and they had seen me, you know, lose and gain the same 140 pounds back and forth and back and forth, and I didn't want this to be another thing that didn't work. And as it started working, you know, he would take me out every anniversary date of OA, and we would talk about it, and he was just so wonderful. And the biggest thing when I made that amends to him, when I made the financial amends and explained about padding my expense account, the most important thing to me was that he understood that all of this stealing from him occurred pre-program. And that once I came into the program and the integrity from the program, you know, I didn't steal from him anymore. And it was so funny. That was my prime concern. I didn't want him to think badly of program, because program was the one thing that gave me a life and instilled in me principles to live by that I could only, first of all, I didn't even know half of them or didn't even know that I aspired to have them. And now I was starting to live by them. And this has got me thinking so much about him that I'm going to try and find him and contact with him and just tell him again how much his support meant to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. and Lucy L., followed by Nancy L. Lucy. Press star 1 to unmute, Lucy. Hello, Lucy? Press star 1. I thought I heard a Lucy L. If not, we'll go to Nancy L., and if Lucy comes on, we'll go back to her. Nancy, are you there?
Hi. Yes, I am. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Nancy L. from Arizona. Sometimes we alcoholics have an idea that people are trying to pull us down. That reminds me of when I was in the seventh grade, and in that junior high school, they started a little class for girls and boys that needed to lose weight. So my mother signed me up, and right in the middle of my history class, I had to get up and go to this weight class. So I went up to the desk, and I whispered to my teacher that it was time for me to go. And so I left the room and shut the door. And before I could really get away from the door, I heard the whole class roar in laughter. So I didn't understand much other than I wonder what that was about. I went to my class, came then to lunch probably, I guess, and I asked one of the girls in the class, what was so funny when I left the room? And she says, oh, the teacher said that you were going to go to some fat class. And my heart just sunk. It really sunk. Because, boy, I really wanted to keep that a secret, as if anyone could look at me and tell I really needed to go to a fat class because I was pretty chubby. But, you know, I guess she just didn't know what she didn't know. I spent, you know, many years in resentment about that and a million other things, and just kept on eating and eating. But now I have given up that resentment towards her. I don't have any animosity about her behavior. But it did hurt. It surely did hurt. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. Has Lucy come back on the line, Lucy L.? All right. If not, we'll go with Paula D. Paula D.?
Good morning. This would be Paula D., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. And thank you for your service today. Let me just check to make sure I'm mindful of the time. Learning that. All right, here we go. There was a lot read here. It sounded like it was a talk, but it was way more than the words. You'll get feelings, and I think this is wonderful. But see, not just looking for the feelings, and that's what I see as this is taking place, more than the depth is for you, the sponsor, and for the sponsee. Something comes together here. But wait, what most has to come together with the spiritual place that you are at. Because then it changes the way you hear things. I have no idea how. Because the hearing becomes, as I said, merges with the feeling. And it goes on. And I love it. And I happen to have yellow highlighted. And I do mean highlighted. Because I used to low light a lot. And it says, ask him if he thinks he has the answer. You know, you give people back the dignity. Alcoholism takes everything away from you. It doesn't leave you with so little, if anything at all. But then it goes on. In this connection, now look at what it says. You connect. This is the most essential. You and God connect with another. In this connection, can you, a question, remain undisturbed? If this man proceeds to tell you shocking things, it's not the things, it's the hurts, it's the pains. What was done to and what they did at one time. Shocking things. He may, and then it says, he may reveal things. Where are you at as you listen to the hurts, the pains? The honesty. Because it says there, and it seemed that I outlined this one too and underlined it and yellowed it. If he has accepted our solution, I love that. Don't you love that word, our? Which, as you know, it means rigorous honesty on both parts. On both parts. Am I rereading more than? I love when it says helpful suggestions. I'm not here to tell you how to live. I don't even know how to live. I'm on my knees every morning because I don't know how to live. As soon as I think I do, life changes again. Bet you know about that one. Then it goes on. But to hear, and I'm kind of closing in on my time. Often this is not so at all, but sometimes. But, so forget everything you just read. But sometimes drinking will be used politically. Now, here, it's so important that we are in the place to be helpful. Not in judgment. I thought I was very proud, by the way. I says, I put my judging robes in the closet. My sponsor said, way too close.
Time.
Way too close. Thank you. And she said, you bring them to the garbage. That's where they belong. And true. And I will end with that. And thank you for the time given. Thank you again for your helpful little timer. Okay, with that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Has Lucy L. come back on the line? Okay, Christy, I don't have your last initial. If you give me your last initial, we let you go here.
Yeah, this is Christy B., as in boy, in Washington
State.
Got it,
Christy. Thank you.
Hi, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Washington State. And as this was read, what really jumped out for me is the part about the gossip. Excuse me. Because I have a serious problem with the gossip, and our company is very, very bad in that. And in reading this, it just stands right out how much that can hurt another person, you know. And as I think about gossiping, because I was definitely active in gossip, I think it all comes down to that sentence there, the greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. And that's where the gossip stems from for myself. Every time that there's gossip involved or something, it's usually because I have jealousy or I'm envying another person or I'm afraid of them. And I had never seen it put out in such a good example here that I can see what that does to other people. And that was just, it was really a good thing for me to hear this read this morning. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christy B. And I'll now remind everybody where we are. We're on page 144, starting with the fourth paragraph on your employee's return, reading through five paragraphs, ending with from needless provocation and unfair criticism. The comments are on all five, and I will take names. I have Lisa J.R. as our first to share, and any of those who would like to share, give me your name.
Suzanne B.
Suzanne B. Got it?
Sarah N.
Sarah, was that?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Lynn L.
Lynn S. No, Lynn L. Was it Lynn L?
No, Jordan L.
Oh, Jordan. Oh, God. I was, I'm all drunk
Come
up
on.
Here. Okay. Okay. Jordan L. Okay, anyone else? Okay. For now, we'll go with those. If we have time, we'll ask for more. Okay, I have Lisa J.R., followed by Suzanne B., Sarah N., and Jordan L. Lisa J.R., you're on.
Thank you so much for the wonderful meeting and your service. That paragraph just jumps out to me. The greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. And in closing, sometimes we alcoholics have an idea that people are trying to pull us down. You know, I really lived that. I thought I was a woman of integrity because I didn't say these things out loud, but the
Oops, Lisa.
I was a vicious...
Oh, there you are. Okay, we lost you
okay,
for a minute.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry about that. Well, in my head, I was a vicious, angry human being, jealous, you know, all those things. And, you know, I was in a business. I ate my way out of a lucrative career, and I was in a business where weight was very important. And in some aspect, I stayed in a different department of that industry, and I had to encounter the people as a heavy person, you know, every day that were looking me up and down and, you know, giving me sneers, you know, wow, she got big. I could hear the talk, you know. So I began to, you know, build this chain of resentment. And I, you know, I made the links on it because, of course, I did not have the tools, the 10th step. I didn't know how to get rid of resentments or nip them in the bud, so to speak. So, you know, I would walk into a room and I would project and I would catastrophize and I would get into negative thinking and magnify those thoughts and get into the psychoanalysis of other people and get suspicious. And then that would turn into judgment. And then in turn, that would go into condemnation, et cetera, until I was into a full-blown brainstorm, you know, and I had no way of getting out of that. You know, and, you know, when I came into program and I heard on vision sensibility and just there was something about what I was hearing from most all of the shares that was sensible and serene and, you know, it was just magic to me. So I dug into the big book and thank God because I am a real sicko. And I don't want to go into, you know, the next life like Jacob Marley with chains of resentment wrapped around, you know, my spirit and you know, dragging, you know, weights around of resentment. You know, this program for me has sort of been like that Red Bull commercial. Red Bull has wings. My spirit has just taken flight. Because I let go of all that stuff. And so these paragraphs, you know, they're not just for us as employers. They're for us as sponsors, as us wives, you know, husbands, parents. You know, they apply to everything. It's universal. It's universal. It's about the relationships we have with others. So I'm so grateful for this meeting. Thanks, and I'll pass.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Lisa J.R. Suzanne B., followed by Sarah N. Suzanne.
Thank you very much for leading the meeting, and thank you to the person who's timing. I want to start with having the significant, and that to me sounds like an amend, although it's not specifically being spoken as that. And what my sponsors have taught me to do with amends that may lead someone in legal trouble, especially when it is dealing with money, is to get legal counsel ahead of time. And in the first paragraph, what that reminds me of is I've always had a sponsor, and here they're telling you when someone is returning to work, and that person that they're talking about may benefit from having a sponsor, because I know for myself, my social skills, my boundaries were off when I was new to recovery, even later when I was very strongly abstinent and in recovery. I was in a very political work situation, and I actually reached out and got help from an Al-Anon friend because I knew the environment I was in was really dysfunctional. I knew I didn't know how to navigate it on my own. And through the 11th step, through meditation, is where I was directed to ask for that help. And I know that work can be political, whether you're new in recovery or not. Security underlines work, so it can be a touchy situation or touchy subject for people. And when people move up the ladder with work promotions and when positive change happens, my experience is that that's what has driven me to continue to work my program diligently, because good or bad events can be shaky ground for me, and the Big Book tells me that. And in the end of what we were reading, it was, or I guess in the middle, it tells me that the greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, and frustration, and fear. And that's why, once again, I have to be very closely working with that 10th step. And I also am not, as a sponsor, anybody's therapist. And the Big Book tells me to get professional help. And I think especially in relationships, whether they're at home or at work, seeking professional help can be very important. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing, Suzanne. Thank you. Sarah N., followed by Jordan L. Sarah N.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everyone for all the wonderful shares and everyone on the line. Welcome to the newcomers. There are three key points that came up for me as I listened and I read. The first one was giving my power to other people and how young that started. You know, as a child, it's like I would focus on the things, the negative things a couple people would say. And for so long, that became part of my story, you know, what those little boys on the playground would say about me and my weight. And I had this perception that was like all the kids in school. That's how everybody thought about me. And, you know, when Facebook came along, it was so surprising to me to see, like, all these other childhood friends I'd never even really considered or thought of, how they had a, you know, were grateful to be friends or reconnected. And it helped me understand there was another perception of me. But ultimately, you know, coming into the rooms, I, you know, came to understand that it's not about what other people think of me. It's what, you know, that I am a worthwhile individual because of my creator, because of my higher power. And so that helps take, you know, that power that I was giving away to other people to determine my worth, that now that's been restored to me and I can understand, you know, my worth as an individual. In this particular reading, you know, it's talking about an employee coming back. And where are they coming back from? They have gone out to seek recovery and they're back, you know, meeting with this employer who obviously is someone who understands, who the program's been explained to, who gets it and is willing to be helpful and listen. And like it's been shared before, again, I can apply my experience as a sponsor. And the word loyalty really jumped out at me. It said, you know, when we see that this person, whether it's an employee or a sponsee or whatever, has really gone out and made the effort, you know, is working the program and is living in it, that I just feel so much more, you know, committed. It's because they're doing the work and they're showing up and they're saying, here I am, you know, this is what I've done. And so I can just appreciate an employer, like we've read before, that these employees are typically very good employees. And I know I've been a very good employee, but very hard on myself and very critical. So grateful for all of these instructions in here. And I'll just end with, you know, I love the extension, the jealousy, anger, frustration, and fear. Those extra adjectives, you know, help keep me alert. Again, like to, you know, watch for those things to make sure that I'm not getting into those, because those are, you know, other enemies of my spirit and of, you know, being an addict. Thank you. Bad attack.
Thank you, Sarah N. Jordan L.
Good morning, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, Jordan. Thank you.
Good morning, guys. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, excuse me, with a frog in my throat, in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. grateful to be on the line this morning. I just, like overall, looking at this, at these five paragraphs, it sort of reminds me of this idea that life is messy. that it's not black and white. when I was in the food, playing God, like, that was the goal, to get it to be black and white, to get to, like, sort of live out my idea of the perfect life, right? Of finding, like, the perfect guy that's gonna treat me exactly the way I want to be treated, and the perfect job where coworkers act perfectly, and this and that and so on and so forth, right? And what I discovered in the steps, or I should say rediscovered in the steps, is that's not the case. Like, that's not life. That's not what it looks like. That it's this really messy thing. And it kind of started, like, it started in steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 when by offering myself to my higher power wholly, good and bad, like, I acknowledged and accepted my own character defects for maybe the first time ever. I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but, like, really owning that stuff, you know? And in that, like, that enabled me to start living in this gray world, in sort of the ambiguity of things are not black and white. Like, life is messy, and I have to be willing to participate anyway. I am no longer checking out with the food. Like, I am here. I am doing this. I have a higher power. I have the care and protection of this higher power, and now I have to show up for life, you know? And I do think about work very much, though. I lead a team at work, and it's a messy team, most definitely. It's a bunch of, like, young 20-something-year-olds. They're all in their early 20s, and their lives are a little bit chaotic, especially living in a resort town, where I would say, like, a higher percentage of this community drinks a lot and smokes a lot of pot and lives sort of this, like, alternative lifestyle, right? and it's most definitely messy, and I have to show up and be willing to participate with these guys anyway. I have to, for me, I have to be willing to be vulnerable in front of them, to show my employees that, I'll wrap up, that I'm a human being too, you know? And they can trust me. And this idea of opening myself up to that mess is really scary. But that's why I have this higher power, you know, like that's what I did back in step three. So anyway, I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. I hope you guys have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. And we have time for about two more shares, if two people would like to share.
Eileen M.
This is Marissa E.
Okay.
Sunny S.
I got that, Marissa E. and Eileen M. Sorry, Sunny. That will just take us out. Eileen?
Hi, I'm Eileen M. Hi, Eileen, can you hear me?
I can.
I'm Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And the sentence that really jumps out at me is also the one that others were talking about what our greatest enemies are. And I just remember this one workplace I was in, I had so much resentment. And, you know, what was so hard for me is when other people got praised and I was not praised, I was so jealous of others when that happened. And, you know, it wasn't until I did a fourth step around my work, around my career, basically, that it was so enlightening for me to look at my part. And, you know, there were, I was thinking about this one job, if I didn't even want to be in that job. And that's, you know, that's what was revealed to me in that, you know, turnaround. And it was just so revealing when I looked at my part. And that's what I wanted to share. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. And Marissa E.
Good morning. This is Marissa E. Thank you, Mo, for your service. Good morning, fellows. Let's see. I just want to share on the reading. The greatest enemies of us alcoholics are resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. And I've been in this program for 8 years, and I'm just about 7 weeks entirely abstinent. And looking back, I was working the steps and going to meetings and doing the deal. And at the same time, you know, I can see how I had these fears, this frustration, this resentment, especially at work. And looking back now, I can see how it really was, you know, the diet with group support. And I treated a coworker horribly. And, you know, I would complain about him. I would gossip about him. I would just continue to resent him. I would share about him at meetings and with my fellows, and they would commiserate. And I was talking to a recovered fellow yesterday, and I can see now how I really needed someone to be like, Marissa, if you're disturbed, there's something the matter with you. And so, yeah, so I did, you know, my fourth step recently, and I came up and I wanted to make an amends to him, and I sent him this letter, and my ego was like, don't put you in a 12-step program. You know, he's going to tell everybody. And he didn't. And, but I took responsibility, and he wrote me back the kindest words. And now I know that if I see him, you know, walking out in the street somewhere, he's out of state, but still, like, it's just, it was so relieving to take full responsibility and accountability for my part. And recognize that I was fueling this whole entire situation. And now with my other colleagues, you know, I can refrain from gossip. I can be supportive and encouraging and empathetic and compassionate. Because in my disease, way back before I was in recovery, I was a terrible employee. So, yeah, so I'm just really grateful for the self-examination and the meditation and what comes up. And then I'm able to take corrective action. Measures. So that's it. I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. We have time for one more quick share, and I forgot who that was that checked in. Who was it that wanted to share? Real quick. We have time for 2-minute share. Anybody want to share?
This is Erin. I'll take a quick share.
All right. Thank you, Erin. Give you 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be shorter than that. But this is Erin, gratefully recovering in North Carolina, and I'm just so grateful for this meeting. It's amazing to me how I've been working the steps for a while, and just hearing all of the shares, especially talking about this part about the greatest enemies being resentment, jealousy, envy, frustration, and fear. And as my food has gotten clean finally, I'm like, what is going on? What is wrong with me? Why am I not feeling better? And then I'm thinking, because these things are still happening, you know? I mean, we've talked about this throughout the meeting, that like putting down the food means we have to deal with what's in between our ears. And I just forget that this is a daily reprieve. And it's totally contingent upon, you know, maintenance and upkeep and being part of a community and just hearing the message and returning to the message. And so I'm just really grateful to just feel that piece of conviction that comes when we see, or when I see kind of the error, but it's not rooted in shame. It's more like, oh, a sigh of relief. Like, oh, that's what it is. You know, now I know what I can, you know, what I can bring to my higher power and what I can do about it. So thanks again. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much, Erin. And want to thank all those who shared on the meeting and those who gave service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.